We're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila, chapter 7. We start with text 110. Tanharana hika dosha ishvara gyapana. Gunartha karila mukhya artha achadiya. Tanhara.
Srila Shankaracharya.
I forgot to copy the
text, so I'll have to read it. Of Sri Shankaracharya. Nahika. There is none.
Dosha.
Fault. Ishvara. The Supreme Lord. Agya. Order.
Pana,
receiving. Gauna arta,
indirect meaning.
Karila, make. Mukya, direct. Arta, meaning. Achadiya,
covering. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So this is in the context of this discussion with Lord Chaitanya has with Prakashananda Sarasvati in Varanasi. Brace yourself, there's a long purport. Translation. Shankaracharya is not at fault, for it is under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he has covered the real purport of the Vedas. Purport. The Vedic literature is to be considered a source of real knowledge, but if one does not take it as it is, one will be misled. For example, the Bhagavad Gita is an important Vedic literature that has been taught for many years, but because it was commented upon by unscrupulous rascals, people derived no benefit from it, and no one came to the conclusion of Krishna consciousness. Since the purport of the Bhagavad Gita is now presented as it is, however, within 4 or 5 short years, thousands of people all over the world have become Krishna conscious. That is the difference between direct and indirect explanations of the Vedic literature. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Mukhya vritya sei artha parama mahatva. To teach the Vedic literature according to its direct meaning, without false commentary, is glorious. Unfortunately, Sri Shankaracharya, by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, compromised between atheism and theism in order to cheat the atheists and bring them to theism. And to do so, he gave up the direct method of Vedic knowledge and tried to present a meaning which is indirect. It is with this purpose that he wrote his Shariraka Bhashya, commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. One should not, therefore, attribute very much importance to the Shariraka Bhashya. In order to understand Vedanta philosophy, one must study Srimad Bhagavatam, which begins with the words Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Janmadhyasayato Vayat, Itaratas Charatesh Abhigya Svarat. I offer my obeisances unto Lord Shri Krishna, son of Vasudeva, who is the Supreme All-pervading Personality of Godhead. I meditate upon Him, the transcendent reality, who is the primeval cause of all causes, from whom all manifested universes arise, in whom they dwell, and by whom they are destroyed. I meditate upon that eternally effulgent Lord, who is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and yet is fully independent. Srimad Bhagavatam 111. Srimad Bhagavatam is the real commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Unfortunately, if one is attracted to Sri Shankaracharya's commentary, Shariraka Bhashya, his spiritual life is doomed. One may argue that since Shankaracharya is an incarnation of Lord Shiva, how is it that he cheated people in this way? The answer is that he did so on the order of his master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in the Padma Purana in the words of Lord Shiva himself. Mayavada sascha stram prachanam baudam uchate mayaiva kalpitam devi kalau brahmana rupina brahmanas cha param rupam nirgunam vakshate maya sarvasvam jagatopyasya mohanartam kalau yugya vedanta tu mahashastre mayavadam avaidikam mayaiva vakshate devi jagatam nasa karanat. The Mayavada philosophy, Lord Shiva informed his wife Parvati, is impious, asach chastra. It is covered Buddhism. My dear Parvati, in Kali Yuga, I assume the form of a Brahmana and teach this imagined Mayavada philosophy. In order to cheat the atheist, I describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be without form and without qualities. Similarly, in explaining Vedanta, I describe the same Mayavada philosophy in order to mislead the entire population toward atheism by denying the personal form of the Lord. In the Shiva Purana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead told Lord Shiva, Dvaparadau yuge budva kalayam manushadishu svagamai kalpitaistvam cha janan madvimukan guru. In Kali Yuga, mislead the people in general by propounding imaginary meanings for the Vedas to bewilder them. These are the description of the Purana. Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Sarasvati Thakur comments that mukhya vritti, the direct meaning, is abhidhya vritti, or the meaning that one can understand immediately from the statements of dictionaries, whereas gauna vritti, the indirect meaning, is a meaning that one imagines without consulting the dictionary. For example, one politician has said that Kurukshetra refers to the body, but in the dictionary there is no such definition. Therefore, this imaginary meaning is gauna vritti, whereas the direct meaning found in the dictionary is mukhya vritti or abhidhya vritti. This is the distinction between the two. Śrī Caitanya Mahāprabhu recommends that one understand the Vedic literature in terms of abhidhya vritti, and the gauna vritti he rejects. Sometimes, however, as a matter of necessity, the Vedic literature is described in terms of the lakshana vritti or gauna vritti, but one should not accept such explanations of permanent truths. The purpose of the discussions in the Upanishads and Vedanta Sutra is to philosophically establish the personal feature of the Absolute Truth. The impersonalists, however, in order to establish their philosophy, accept their discussions in terms of lakshana vritti or indirect meanings. Thus, instead of being tattva-vada or in search of the Absolute Truth, they become mayavada or illusioned by the material energy. When Sri Vishnu Swami, one of the four acharyas of the Vaishnava cult, presented his thesis on the subject matter of Shuddhadvaita Vada, immediately the Mayavadis took advantage of the philosophy and tried to establish their Advaita Vada or Kevala Advaita Vada. To defeat this Kevala Advaita Vada, Sri Ramanuja Acharya presented his philosophy as Vishishta Advaita Vada, and Sri Madhvacharya presented his philosophy of Tattva Vada, both of which are stumbling blocks to the Mayavadis because they defeat their philosophy in scrupulous detail. Students of Vedic philosophy know very well how strongly Sri Ramanujacharya's Vishishta Advaita Vada and Sri Madhvacharya's Tattva Vada contest the impersonal Mayavada philosophy. Sri Caitanya Mahaprabhu, however, accepted the direct meaning of the Vedanta philosophy and thus defeated the Mayavada philosophy immediately. He opined in this connection that anyone who follows the principles of the Shariraka Bhashya is doomed. This is confirmed in the Padma Purana where Lord Shiva tells Parvati, Shinu devi pra vakshami tamasani yatakramam yesham shavana matrena patityam geninam api apartam shruti vakyanam darshaya loka garhitam karma svarupa tyajatam atra cha pratipadyate sarva karma paribhramsan naish karmyam tatra chochate patram jivayor aikyam mayatra pratipadyate. My dear wife, hear my explanations of how I have spread ignorance through Mayavada philosophy. Simply by hearing it, even an advanced scholar will fall down. In this philosophy, which is certainly very inauspicious for people in general, I have misrepresented the real meaning of the Vedas and recommended that one give up all activities in order to achieve freedom from karma. In this Mayavada philosophy, I have described the Jivatma and Paramatma to be one and the same. How the Mayavada philosophy was condemned by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers is described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, 2nd chapter, verses 94 through 99, where Svarup Damodar Goswami says that anyone who is eager to understand the Mayavada philosophy must be considered insane. This especially applies to Vaishnava who reads the Shariraka Bhashya and considers himself to be one with God. The Mayavadi philosophers have presented their arguments in such attractive, flowery language that hearing Mayavada philosophy may sometimes change the mind of even a Mahabhagavata or very advanced devotee. An actual Vaishnava cannot tolerate any philosophy that claims God and the living being to be one and the same. It's a very long purport by Srila Prabhupada. You can see that in some parts of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada has almost no comment. It's just translates, and in some parts he makes these huge comments, long commentaries. So this must be. We'll come back to this. This must be that it's something important. If Srila Prabhupada makes this long purport, it's a few pages. Then it must be important. A bit of the context. Last time we were discussing the beginning of this discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Prakashananda Sarasvati, how Lord Chaitanya came to Varanasi, how these Mayavadis were criticizing him, and he didn't take them seriously. He went to Vrindavan, and then when he came back, he addressed this situation. He went there, and he was very humble. He was invited to this place where all the other sannyasis were invited. And he had this very humble position. He went there to wash his feet, and he was staying in this unclean place. And of course, he also did a mystic trick. He showed the effulgence of millions of suns, so that was quite attracting their attention. What's this? What's happening? And then they start discussing, and at first Lord Chaitanya is not discussing philosophy. He's more or less saying, oh, you know, my spiritual master gave me this mantra, he told me I'm a fool, that I should just chant this mantra, and philosophy is not so much for me. But still, he gave me this verse from the Shastra, and then I started chanting Hare Krishna, and I developed this ecstasy. And I went to my spiritual master and asked, what's happening to me? Am I going crazy? And said, no, you're on the track, you're developing love of Godhead. And they start quoting more and more Shastra, you know, like, so Lord Chaitanya is like very gentle preacher, not so much philosophy, but like hi, more or less charming, very very charming, and so the Mayavadis, they recognize, oh, these symptoms of love of Godhead, we heard of them from the Shastra because we read the Shastras also, and. So they somehow accept, okay, this Lord Chaitanya has some realization. And then, but then they still ask him, yes, you have this love of God, but why do you not discuss this Vedanta Sutra? Why don't you study Vedanta Sutra? So at this point Lord Chaitanya says, yes, well, maybe I can say also something on Vedanta Sutra. I heard some things. And they were quite... by this point, these Mayavadi sannyasis, they're becoming a bit more humble. and they are addressing Lord Chaitanya as Narayana. I mean, which doesn't mean too much in their conception, because they are also Narayana. But so, Lord Chaitanya is Narayana, and they are also Narayana. And as soon as you take sannyas, you will become Narayana. So that doesn't mean so much. But they are becoming very respectful, and they somehow they accept Lord Chaitanya as an authority, which is partly based on arguments that Lord Chaitanya is putting forward, and partly because they are human, partly because they like Lord Chaitanya. These hardcore sannyasis, they like Lord Chaitanya. They are human, you know, like they propound this very hardcore philosophy, but inside, you know, they're just like everyone else. I was discussing at some point with some preacher, and he told me he was preaching in some country, and that he had one Mayavadi who was coming for his classes, and I was expecting, what do you do? You find, because Mayavada is bad, and then you just smash his philosophy, like very hardcore. And he was saying, no. I just don't take him seriously. I give him prasadam, he starts chanting, and whenever he says something, I'm like, yes, whatever. So that's not so much. I was like, wow, really? Not so much philosophy, because he doesn't know what he's talking about. Anyway, so here the Mayavadi sannyasis, they like Lord Chaitanya and they accept his authority, and they are asking him, okay, so can you say something? They start to develop some faith in him. And then he says, yes, well, first argument he's saying is that that there is this direct meaning and there is this indirect meaning of the Shastra. And usually if the Shastra says that something, usually it's the direct meaning that has to be taken. Like Srila Prabhupada gives this example in this purport, that if Shastra says that there was a battle at Kurukshetra, Kurukshetra means Kurukshetra. Kurukshetra doesn't mean the body, and the pancha, the five Pandavas don't mean the five senses. There's Kurukshetra means Kurukshetra, and the five Pandavas means the five Pandava brothers. That's it. That's if there's a direct meaning of the Shastra, then we should take this direct meaning of the Shastra. On other occasion, Srila Prabhupada says about this famous Mayavadi who was a vice president of India. I don't remember his name. And he said, he comments on this verse where Krishna says, surrender unto me. And his commentary starts with, it's not to Krishna that you should surrender. And you see, there's this the verse. You know, verse Krishna says, surrender unto me. And commentary, it's not unto Krishna that you should surrender. Huh? And it's like, to the impersonal Brahman within, and so, like, oh my God. But look, Manu, look what's... So that's a basic argument Lord Chaitanya gives. And in most of the cases, it's enough. You know, like, you're like, okay, you're reading the Shastras, you say you like Bhagavad Gita. Okay, look, let's read what the Bhagavad Gita says. Bhagavad Gita says, surrender unto Krishna. Okay. Lord Chaitanya here uses this terms, doomed, ruined. Your life is ruined if you read this Sharira Bhasya. This is very practical. There's so much Mayavada philosophy in the West. And you can see some people who read all these books, it's really hard for them to make any sense of anything. We have a friend. He's he read all these Shariraka Bhashya and the commentaries on the Upanishads and so on, and he really read all these things. And it's really hard for him to understand anything. It's like something is. Yeah, anyway. So here we have a long purport for today, very long. And a few main ideas Srila Prabhupada states here. One is this part that usually shastras should be taken in terms of direct meaning. If the shastra says something, then usually that's what it means. Except there's some allegorical stories, King Puranjana in Srimad Bhagavatam. There's some allegorical stories. But most of the things written in the shastra you should take literally. And then Srila Prabhupada says, the natural commentary of Vedanta Sutra, written by the author himself, by Srila Vyasadeva, is Srimad Bhagavatam. So if you want to read a commentary on Vedanta Sutra, you can read Srimad Bhagavatam. It's and he gives many references to the mission of Shankaracharya. He quotes here extensively from Padma Purana, from Shiva Purana. So there's a history why this is done. When Shankaracharya came, the society was mostly Buddhist. They were mostly Buddhists living at that time. That was the predominant philosophy. And Buddhist philosophy is also atheistic. It's actually not atheistic, it's non-theistic. Some people call it pre-theistic. And it has a context, you know, like actually the atheistic part is that Buddha rejects the Vedas. And there's a context. There's the context that they were doing animal sacrifices and they were using some references from the Vedas. They were taking them out of context. And they would say, okay, we can eat meat because it's written in the Vedas. You know, like if the Vedas are saying that we can eat meat, we can, you know, like. So they are taking this out of context. And then Buddha comes and his mission is to stop animal killing. Because this animal killing is very, very detrimental. So Buddha comes and he says, yes, Vedas, if this is what is said in the Vedas, then these Vedas are wrong. So more or less he rejects Vedas. And then Shankaracharya, his mission is mostly how to put Vedas back. Because Vedas are important. So Shankaracharya, as Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, he makes a compromise between theistic and atheistic philosophy. He presents Vedas, but he presents the Vedas in a way that it's acceptable for this Buddhist society. So he's more or less saying, oh, look, this Shipanchatattva ki jai, Shikornitai ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So he's more or less presenting this Vedic literature as if it would be Buddhism. So in this way, it's very attractive for the people who were living there. That it's easy to accept. Look, you are Buddhist, you're following Buddha. Oh, yeah, yes, 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 we're following Buddha. Oh, look, in the Vedas, it's also written what Buddha is saying. Oh, really? Yeah. So do you accept the Vedas? Yes, yeah. Yes, of course. So to do this, he's twisting a bit the meanings, you know, like this commentary, this twisting around. So that's, and he adds, he puts the Vedas back, he adds the idea of soul and super soul. This doesn't exist in Buddhism. Buddhism doesn't speak about the soul. So he makes some progress. You know, like, but of course his philosophy is atheistic. And then as Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, then the Vaishnava Acharyas come and say, oh, you are accepting the Vedas. Yes, we accept the Vedas. Oh, okay, but look, actually, if you accept the Vedas, what's written in the Vedas is not what Shankaracharya is selling. So that's more or less the history, that first Buddha comes, he takes Vedas out, and then Shankaracharya puts the Vedas back, and then the Vaishnava Acharya say, look, I mean, if you accept the Vedas, we should accept the Vedas. What they are saying, not Shariraka Bhasya, you know, because there's differences. So that's more or less the history. And this chapter is full of Shastric references. So many references which were Srila Prabhupada is combating this Mayavada philosophy. Because it's important. It's really, really important. And it actually doesn't make any sense. Even at the end of these discussions, this Mayavadi sannyasi say, actually, we know that this philosophy of Shankaracharya doesn't make any sense. But we belong to this sect, so what can you do? We have to follow. And this attitude of fighting Mayavada is actually one of the key elements of our sampradaya. This is quite important because this Srila Prabhupada's prana mantra says nirvishesha shunyavadi pashyate adeshatarine. This nirvishesha is Buddhism and shunyavada shunya is Buddhism. So this is Buddhism and Mayavada. So these Western countries, they are filled with Buddhism and Mayavada, with voidism and Mayavada. And Srila Prabhupada's mission is to preach Lord Chaitanya's message in this environment. So as I said before, then we have to, it has to be some positive philosophy and then also some negative preaching in how to defeat these philosophies. Very important. And then this is not just Srila Prabhupada woke up one morning and he was like, oh, we have to defeat this Buddhists and these Mayavadis. This was also the desire of his spiritual master. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, at one point, Srila Prabhupada is writing a poem on Vyasa Puja of the Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj is very pleased with this poem, and he's taking it. This was before Srila Prabhupada was not very prominent in Gaudiya Math at that point. You know, like it was just like a grihasta, fallen grihasta. That's not really, but so he was not very prominent in Gaudiya Math. And this poem, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, when he was keeping it with him, and he was showing to people, look. Let's see, what did my disciple wrote? It's very nice. And he says, and what he wrote in the poem is, absolutely sentient, though hasn't proved, impersonal calamity, though hasn't moved. But this was the understanding Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj also had, that, oh, this is impersonalism is really a calamity and we have to get rid of this. Very, very important. And here we have Lord Chaitanya, who is combating very, very fierce in fighting this Mayavada philosophy. This is in the beginning of this chapter says this is the most difficult. You know, he was converting before everyone, and this Mayavada was like, this is hard nut to crack. anyway, so Lord Chaitanya here, and also. Even before, in the tradition of this of our sampradaya, there's Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya is known for fighting against Mayavada. From philosophical perspective, the doctrine of the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya and the philosophy of Madhvacharya, they are not so similar. Because Madhvacharya's philosophy is dvaita. It's like there's two. You see always Madhvacharya in pictures. He's two. you know, like he has this hand, his shows always this. There's two, the soul and the super soul. The soul and Krishna are two. They are not one. This is just complete focus on destroying this Mayavada. But Lord Chaitanya, who actually united these four sampradayas, for traditional Vaishnava sampradaya, he accepted the school of Madhvacharya because of this reason. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, "The special characteristic of Madhvacharya's doctrine is that it very clearly defeats the faulty mistakes of the Advaita perspective. Therefore, in order to bring about safe and sure benefit for the conditioned souls who are weakened from the onslaughts of Kali Yuga, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the doctrine of Srimadvacharya by adhering to his lineage." So that's Bhaktivinoda, he says some other things. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Lord Chaitanya accepted the school of Madhvacharya. Actually, there's two reasons, but this is the main reason. One reason is that in Madhvacharya's school, they worship Krishna in the form of Krishna. In all the other schools, they worship Lord Ramachandra, they worship Lakshmi Narayan, and so on. But Madhvacharya, in his school, they worship Krishna mostly. And the second is this strong attitude towards Mayavada. So anyway, good. We'll stop here. But the main idea is that this Shankaracharya is good to understand his position and his philosophy, because you meet so many people who read directly or indirectly his philosophy. And it's important to also, this chapter is full of arguments and Shastric references that can help defeat this philosophy. And it's good to know them, and it's good to apply this argument and to try to combat as much as possible this Mayavada philosophy, because it's like... it's really like cancer from spiritual perspective. Okay, we'll stop here. If there's some questions, comments, concerns. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's working. One of the points in Buddhism was to stop meat eating, and when Lord Buddha appeared, is one of the principles was to stop meat eating.
Yeah, that's one of the fundamental... The mission of Lord Buddha is to stop meat eating. And what he's actually teaching is more or less this eightfold path. It's more like Dharma. Yep. It's this culture, what I call, because Buddha is not, except, I mean, if you reject the Vedas, that's already considered atheistic. But other points, Buddha doesn't speak about God, about the soul. There's a few questions which Buddha doesn't answer at all. You know, like he's qualifying them as unintelligent questions. And he says, we're not speaking about this. Because actually it's not unintelligent, it's too advanced for the people he's speaking with. So he's giving the environment, Eightfold Path, which is more or less Dharma. You proper action, proper behavior, this, which is so it's Buddhism is a they call it pre-theistic culture,
kind of impersonal.
No, it's not impersonal, it's more or less karmakanda. He's just not mentioning, saying, but it's on this path which is very useful, you know, like for people. If you come to Bhagavad Gita and you understand that you have a duty, that you have to act properly and so on, then
More or less, this is the position Arjuna has at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, supposedly. You know, like, he knows, okay, I have a duty. And he's like, what is my duty? You know, so these people who are coming from Buddhist background, real Buddhist background, then they know they have a duty, and you just have to convince them that actually your duty is to chant Hare Krishna. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like in Bhagavad Gita also Lord Krishna says, if one is not able to perform devotional service, then at least do this, at least perform your duty. Then if not that, then at least, you know, I don't know, like maybe donate to the temple. If not then at least schools. Do some good, you know.
Yeah, schools like, and hospitals and so on.
Yeah, like some good karma, yeah.
Yeah, so the Buddhism is, some devotees call it pretheistic culture. If this kind of people come, you know, who have are dutiful, they have some principle and so on, it's a lot easier to work with them, you know, like so.
Kind of pious people.
Yeah, pious. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Something like that. Okay. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.